praying, I kept thinking, I don't know if somebody was praying, and I kept believing, I kept hearing this, that sometimes we don't receive all the blessing of God because of this right here. The Bible says, for that we do not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning the Lord's body, for cause this we are weak and sickly among us, and people sleep. Sickly among us and weak because we don't discern the body. We don't discern it. We don't, and it breaks my heart because sometimes what we do is in the body, unfortunately, people disregard their body and it doesn't mean anything. Like somebody could be whatever part and they could not be there and it doesn't matter. Or people could just walk out and not look back. And when we do those things, sometimes we miss out and we become weak because we're not connected to the body and the blessing that we receive from being connected. That's what God wants to do. He wants to use His body. We're the bride of Christ. And to use His body. You know what I mean? How important the body is, the body. I just feel that in my heart. I feel a desperation for us to cherish the body, to care for one another. And it begins with prayer. It really does. It begins with prayer because you begin to put aside your agenda. You might not need anything to pray for. But somebody does. And maybe it's your arm that needs blood flow. Or whatever area, whatever part of the body that we need to take hold of that. I have one more scripture that alongside of that kind of came to me too, real quick, if I could say this. Sometimes we get mad at God because we're not getting answers or we're not getting what we need. And maybe it's in the body. You know, I remember Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. It says they begged for the body. There was something about the body that, remember, they begged for the body that they could take it and place it in the grave that it come alive again. That I feel this when we were in that room. I felt like that there's some people that are beginning to beg for the body of Christ to come together, to stand up, to be who we are, to encourage one another, to cherish parts of the body that might not seem vital, but they are. It's like Mr. Potato Head, where you're missing parts. You know how there's different parts, and you just take an ear out, and it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. When Peter cut the ear off the soldier, Jesus got so upset from that. It's part of the body. You might not have known it yet, but let me just give you this real quick. Then we'll get into this. Is that, you all right? So thank you for the words, too, that those you guys stepped out in faith. Boom, she shared one, you shared one, and just overflows, man. Don't be afraid to do that, man. We got to do that. I know that testimonies ignite fire. Testimonies really do. They ignite fire. Let me just give you this. There's a couple here because I can't just read one. So it's Hebrews 10. All right? You hang around with me long enough, you're going to fall in love with the Word like you've never loved it before. I promise you. Because my heart leaps. It leaps when I read this. He says, and this is Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us. Remember, it's not just let me, let us. Because, listen, do you see that, how important that is? It's not just let me, it's let us. There's corporate, it's a body, it's all of us. It's so important for us to come together, for us to get together, for us to take hold of it. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised it. And let us. Again, consider one another to provoke unto and to good works. Wow. So, can I just say this? Are we provoking? Do I provoke you to love? Am I provoking you to love? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to provoke one another to love. That when you walk in and you greet me and you come with this heart, I might be in a bad mood, but you're provoking me to love. See, when I walk on the job site, there's sometimes where there's such a dark atmosphere sometimes. But when I walk in there, my intentions are to provoke love. Sometimes I feel successful and sometimes I feel not. But I just provoke one another to love. Poke one another. We provoke one another to anger. The Bible says that Father says, children, don't provoke your children to anger. But God provokes us to love. Be like Him. So He says, not forsaking the assembling. That's it right there. Tell someone not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Man, let's just measure that right there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Wow, Renee, listen. As we are assembling together, as she's being assembled, I am being assembled. The stronger you are, the stronger I am. I want you to succeed. I gotta pray for you. I want to bless you. I don't want to curse you because I bless you. I bless myself. So I'm in this assembly as I assemble ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Even more than ever, we need to. Man, in this day, right now where we're at, right now. I believe that every day from the time this was written was important for that right there. Because every day is important. And I was listening to a guy, and he says, sometimes we go in life and we get up in the morning, we just go through life as if everything's just ordinary. But yet we are standing on a planet that's spinning around, going 1,000 miles an hour around the sun. That's 93 million miles away. There's nothing ordinary about that. There's nothing ordinary about our lives. Do you know what it takes for my everything in me to work together? You know, when something doesn't work together, I fall apart. Sometimes we need to really see that with one another, that every parts of our body, if my parts of the body aren't working right together, I need to do what I can to fix it. I need to counsel. I need to encourage. I need to build up. I need to stir up. I need to cheer up, that you don't give up. I need you. I need you. It's vital. My success is together.
And if the church doesn't get that, we won't go anywhere. We'll never go anywhere. We'll never accomplish anything. That's why we come together and we worship together. I can worship by myself, but when you worship together, it creates an atmosphere. Together. That's why God desires us to be together. There's a gathering together. Don't forsake the assembling, the gathering together.
That's free. Okay. All right, let's jump to Matthew real quick. You all right? Amen. All right, let me share this with you. Let's go here. How many of you guys remember last week where we were? We talked about the washing of the Word. We really got into that a little bit, how important it was for us to read the Word, because it washes us, it cleanses us. It cleanses our hearts. It causes us to become pure and having the right motives that, you know, when they came into the tabernacle, they would sacrifice. They would come and bring it to the sacrifice, and then they would come to the laver where they would wash themselves. Sin's dealt with. But unfortunately, so many people put things on us during the day that we need to be washed by the Word of God. Sanctified. Cleansing of the Word of God. To let that wash that contamination off of us. Those things. Come on, say things. There's things, and I have a responsibility to do that, because I have a relationship with God to come into. So there's a steps that I take to begin to do that. So here's these disciples as they begin to walk with Jesus. And can I just ask you guys to do this? When you're reading the Word, when you see Jesus, or when you see the Word, and the Word was there, say Jesus. Or whenever you see the word, Word, say Jesus. Or Jesus, say Word. Whatever. Because it's the same. But when you say it that way, when you're reading it sometimes, it really changes things. It really goes, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Makes you think. Okay? So, where were we? Okay, we were in... Right, we did the Beatitudes, but let me read this in chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up unto the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. He began to equip them. He began to encourage them. So he began to give them these commandments, these new commandments. And Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the commandments, but to fulfill them. So Jesus begins to, all of a sudden here, he begins to give these new commandments. But the difference of it is this, is now it's going to be through him, through our lives. Him working through us. And that's what he's showing them. That's what he's teaching them. He's beginning to lay some things out to them about the kingdom of God. A greater dimension than they've ever seen before. So let's just go here. And I like it because it goes all the way as he begins to go, the Beatitudes 5, 6, 7, all the way to 8. He's teaching them. And remember, I told you before that in chapter 11 is... that we rest. Jesus says, all those that are heavy laden, I've come to give you rest. We cannot walk in every one of these without resting in Him. Acknowledging that it's all about Jesus. I can do nothing without Him. I'm empty without Him. I fail without Him. I have no hope without Him. But with Him, all things are possible. So, as we go here, you guys read that, but let's just go here. I'm going to jump over like some of these. Well, I can't go through every single one of them. It says, so he began to deal with some things. He began to deal with anger. He begins to deal with verse, this is in 5:27. It says, you have heard that it is said by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But then Jesus says this, but I say, say, but I say, unto you that whosoever looketh. Now, can you imagine this response of the guys that were there, those ones that were there? They're thinking, what? I mean, Jesus begins to make, if you thought it was hard before, what Jesus is talking about is even harder. Let me share this. Listen. So he says, and he look at the woman. He says, after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Can you say your heart? See, because Jesus is dealing with these things. Because here's the thing. You understand something. The commandments and all those things were outward expressions. But Jesus came to deal with the inward of man. Jesus said that your whole soul would prosper. That your the soul, it's that's can you look it up? John, the third, John 3, or John, third John. It just didn't sound right to me. Third John 1, 12, I think, says that your soul would prosper. I want you to check this out, though. I want you to see this, because that is, listen, that your soul, that your heart, this inside part, prosper. The religious ones were decaying. They looked the part on the outside. But what does that do? What does that do, guys? I mean, what does that do for us? That doesn't do nothing for us. How to walk religiously or walk like we're doing this. No. That you could say to me, or somebody would say to me, God knows how your walk is with God. You can hide it from me. You might not have any walk with God, and you can hide that from me for a while. But you can't hide that with God. He knows your intentions. He knows your heart. Do you have that? Did you find it? Yes, that's it. Good. Could you read it? Above all things. Wow. That your soul prospers. Your soul, man, your soul prospers. That you be in a place that the way that your spirit is, He desires for your soul to prosper that way too. So when you get the spirit right, now you got hope that your heart can get right. Because you're born again. You're awakened. Now you have the opportunity, come on, amen, for your soul to be healed. All those things, all the bondage, all the baggage, all the things we carry. Now, Jesus says, listen, I'm going into the depths of your heart. That place where you didn't want me to talk about, I'm going there. See, Jesus says, listen, we're going on a journey together, and the place I'm going to the deepest, darkest places of your heart. Because I'm here to do the Father's business. And what I set out to, what I start, I finish. I want to cleanse you from the top to the bottom. From the inside out. I want to wash you, cleanse you. Whatever you've been broken by, whatever you've been hurt by. And remember, we go back to all those that are heavy laden. I've come to give you rest. So, he says, and if you their right eye offends you, listen, I love it. These are some harsh words, man. Come on, someone read it to me. What's it say? If your eye offends you, get a spoon, pluck it out. If your arm, what happens? What's the next word? He says, right hand of your arm, cut it off. Boy, that'll solve a lot of problems, huh? Listen, you understand that you know that God's not telling you to cut your eyeball out or pop your eye out. We know that. But listen, whatever offends you, remove yourself from it.
Don't leave yourself there. Don't leave yourself there. Remove yourself from that place. So this is the one thing. Listen, I want you to know, listen, that Jesus Christ, there's a relationship that I have with Him, and there's this, when God gives me, He comes and sets me free, but then I got to walk in it. I got to take hold of that new life now. I got to put on Christ. I got to walk in that reality. I have to walk in the Spirit. There's a sense of responsibility that, listen, I don't just put it on cruise control. But I begin to walk in it. That's what's so beautiful. Listen, the longer I walk with God, the more I realize, wow, man, that's the beauty of the thing. If I could just relax and just walk with God and realize this is beautiful, that God wants me to relinquish the driver's seat and get out of the way and let Him lead me. Remove myself from those places. And he says, and then it says, it goes on to talk about divorce and oaths. I'm going to keep going here. I don't have time because I want to get to a couple places. I would like to get to 8. I don't know how that's going to happen. But, and he says, let's go retaliation. We all like this. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, you know, I like this because it's telling us we're learning a kingdom language, heavenly language. Success comes by knowing what He says. But I say, this is what I say, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have the cloak also. That's not easy. But remember, guys, remember I said, listen, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. See, we got to focus on. That's why we literally have to walk in a conscious reality of Christ in our lives. This is coming entry into His rest when we realize that I'm doing it in His strength. And it's not easy at first, but it becomes easier and easier. I love more types of people now than I did 20 years ago. And he says, and whosoever compel thee to go a mile, go with him. 2. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy away. You have heard that it hath said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Tell someone that's hard. That's hard. That's not always easy. But to live in that blessed place, that place of safety, that place of shelter, we have to walk in that word. We can't sell it. Like Kelly said, she was talking there, I wrote some notes down because it was really jumping out at me that I kept hearing that, don't sell the word. Don't sell your word. That's my word. God says, love my enemies. If I hate them, sell the word. I abandon my place of safety. I become vulnerable to my enemies. But if I pray for them, if I bless them, whatever they do,
That's up to them. But now, I have God on my side. And the Word shelters me. The Word protects me. Remember, we understand that we do things in balance. That if somebody keeps over and over and over and over, don't be stupid. That's abuse. Amen? He said, so, but I say, bless them, pray for them, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? The publicans do the same. And if thou salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Spiritually mature. Be spiritually mature. Verse 6, chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, your offerings before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest alms, he says, do not sound a trumpet before the hypocrites and synagogues and streets, that they may have glory of men. That's where they receive it. The glory that they receive is when others know what they did. When somebody else knows, when you make someone else aware of the good deed that you did, the blessing that you did, that's your reward. You'll get a reward, that'll be it. But God wants us to do things in secret. God wants us to bless one another and get away from the glory. Give it to God. He says that the alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth you in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You don't have to worry about it. God will take care of it. See, do you see here though? Listen, forgive your neighbors. He says, listen, that we can see this, that we had in that word, that there's a protection there, that we can do that, and that your Father will openly reward you. That what you do in private, there's something there that we can understand. You enter into rest. There's a protection there in this word as we honor it, as we stand in it, as we agree with it. There's something there. More than sometimes we step out, I think that we face things that we shouldn't be facing because we step outside of what God says. Prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they loved their prayer standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Listen, those who pray out loud, please don't stop praying out loud. This is not what this means. It's in the streets. He says, standing in the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He's saying it's not like it's wrong, but that's their reward. That others say, oh my goodness, look how good he can pray. There it is. There's your reward. He says, but when thou prayest, this is what prayer looks like. What does this say? Okay. But that's not it. What's it say to do? Tell someone, shut the door. We need to come and listen. Here's why. Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this. Listen. Listen. Listen, listen, there's so much other things that we could begin to talk about outside the door. Whatever's presented to us. Say, whether a doctor comes up to you and gives you a report, we need to take it in prayer and shut the door. We need to shut the door to all the other things. It's not easy sometimes. Don't keep the door open and keep conversation going with whatever negative, whatever report it might have been, don't keep a conversation going, but shut the door and talk to God. We need to get alone with God and shut the door. Sometimes we like to carry corners. It's good to talk to one another. But listen, more than anything else, when you get that report, just go to your closet and shut the door, amen, and get alone with God. Come on, there's some things that we know that we say to one another, that there's things that come, that we hear things, negative things. And you know what we got to learn to do? She'll say it to me, I'll say it to her. Go shut the door. Shut the door. You got to get in there and shut the door. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, turn it off, get it. Focus on God. Here, begin to pray unto God. Shut the door. What's that? My dog will not let me alone. It's not even my dog. It's not my dog, but he has to pray with me. He's got to be in the room with me when I'm in the Word. He will break the door open. He literally does. He hits the door until I open it, and then he comes in. And he'll come around. He'll open the door, not look at me at all, come around the chair, get around the chair, get behind the door, his chair, and he'll sit up and he'll just like. Did he know? Huh? He prays with me. He says, so pray to your Father which is in secret. The Father which seeth your secret will reward you openly. Come on, say openly. 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 He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But speak, and not just vain, but listen, speaking God's words, declaring God's word as we pray. See how it's sharing this, that don't speak in vain, just sometimes we speak and we will speak from our flesh or tell God our problems or speak from a place of woe is me. But if we want God to agree, he won't agree with that. He won't agree with the problem. He won't agree with that. But he'll agree with his word. That's where prayers are answered, is when we shut the door and find a place to agree with God. Amen? He says, but therefore, the Father knoweth the things that you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray. And this is the disciples, they asked him how to pray. And this is how Jesus tells them to pray. Our Father, which blew everybody away that was sitting there, because he was admonishing and declaring that he's Abba, he's my Father. He says, and then he used before that, our Father. Our Father. Man, isn't that beautiful? Can you say, our Father? Our Father, there's not a sense of separation. Our Father. Hallelujah. He says, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way we pray. Remember, guys, that we need to come in agreement with, as it is in heaven, I need to come into agreement in the earth with it. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there turmoil? Come on, is there anger? Is there all these other things, those things that we struggle with on the earth? Come on, that we need to bring that on into our earth, into our realm. You know, listen, I want you to know, sometimes we're waiting for somebody to do it for us, but listen, you're responsible, come on, amen, for your surroundings. It's your authority, it's your place. We need to come in agreement for our space. Need to come in that place agreement with God for my day. That's what we need to do. He says, and as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Say daily bread. Whew. Somebody, can somebody look up Numbers 14:21? I need my daily bread. And that doesn't just mean the word. Come on, I want you to see this, because it just doesn't mean the word, my daily bread, but this is what it means too. There's some things, come on, that we go through that only these can cause us to grow. Somebody got it? Oh, you got it? But I truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory. No, Numbers 14. The giants, it talks about the giants, maybe it's in Exodus, I don't know, but it talks about the giants being bread. Remember with Joshua, I think Joshua or Caleb said that. He said that that these giants are our bread. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to know that, listen, do you know that sometimes circumstances that are greater than you and depends upon God to walk in, causes us to grow farther than ever. When you come to a place of dependence upon God, trusting God, yeah, against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. That those things become bread that we eat. Listen, I'm praying that you pray this prayer, our Father, give me my daily bread. Let me take a victory, God. Because there's some giants that we face, come on, that become a nourishment to me that nothing else will. I get a sense of a nourishment. When I face a giant, when David faced Goliath, come on, amen, he grew so incredibly large in that place, bigger than the giants he was facing. When Joshua and Caleb, when they stepped up and they came in agreement with God's word, they came in agreement. They said, give me my giant. Give me my giant. Give me my bread. I need my nourishment. So when things come your way, sometimes we get discouraged about them. But listen, we got to say, God, give me my bread. Not that we're asking for trouble, but I'm saying, God, no matter what, God, there's some giants that we need to face. We go through life and we don't face things in our lives that we need to face. Ask for your bread. Ask for your mountain. I'll give it to you. I'll be honest with you. Like, even with Tom. Come on, we're facing a giant. Give me that mountain, God. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Unless we're willing to forgive others, we disagree with that He's forgiven us. There's something there that we got to understand that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not trespasses, neither your Father will forgive you of your trespasses. Let's jump down to verse 19 as I wrap this up. Lay not up yourself treasures upon earth where moths and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. Can you look up Colossians 1:5? Where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and they cannot steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be. Where your thoughts are. Your thoughts focus on your treasure. Wow. Your thoughts focus on your treasure. It says, for where your treasure is. Oh, I'm sorry. What did you use? Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Wherefore, you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. For you, by hope, which is laid up in heaven. We have hope. That was where our hope was laid up. Come on, amen. It's not in the earth. It's not in things that rust and corrupt, things that fade away, but is laid up in Christ Jesus. Come on, amen. It's laid up. We're seated with Him in the heavenlies. That we set our hearts towards that without understanding. And we walk in that. See, listen, this is everything begins to make sense to us if we understand that scripture right there. He says that let that be your treasure, because all these other things, this is where it becomes hard, is to love our enemies or to forgive, is when my treasure's not laid up in heaven. When I don't set my heart, come on, amen, in Christ. When I don't set myself seated with Him in the heavenlies, that's where I struggle. That's where we come to a place without hope. But when I know that I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies, wow. The light of the body, and then let me jump down here. Put God first. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and you cannot serve mammon. Wow. He says, and therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor what your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than that? Man, see, that's washing yourself, that sometimes some things might make you feel like you're not valuable to Him, but the Word of God washes you. To remind you that are you not more valuable than birds? He says, behold the fowls. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Amen. He says, no, take no thought. He says, consider the lilies. And we know this. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Say all things. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought. It has its own problems. What do you say to me all the time? Don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow trouble. She says that to me. It reminds me. So I don't neglect my body. I hear it. I got to hear that. He says, because the day is going to have its own problems. It's going to have its own problems. So let me wrap this up here as this last part. He says in 7:7 says, ask. I love this right here. If you guys want to underline this in your Bibles, chapter 7:7. Ask, seek, knock. I have every one of those underlined because I think they're so important. Because those are action. That should be our response to God. Asking, seeking, knocking. And it shall be opened unto you. And everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if the son asks for bread, will his father give him a stone? He says, or if you ask for a fish, will he give you a serpent? He says, if then, being evil, you know to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now here it is, right here, listen. And every one of us have questions for this right here. We say, but I've asked. Now that, have you thought about that? That sometimes that's the first thing that comes to our heart. That whosoever asks receives. Don't show your hands, but how many of you ever asked and not received? That's the truth. There's things that sometimes we ask and we don't know why we won't have answers for those things. Those are real questions. Sometimes those things we have to sacrifice our understanding to have peace. Trust God. Sometimes there's faith. Sometimes there's moments all through the Bible, there's different moments in faith where the people, they had no faith and received healing. There's some people that had incredible faith and didn't receive it. There's different moments where that Jesus, He used His faith, or sometimes it was their faith that healed them, and it was different moments that took place where healing took place, where the different answers. It was never the same. It was different situations. Sometimes we try to figure out God, that man, if you do this, if you have this much faith, if you believe this way, if you do this certain thing, if you're willing to do this, but it doesn't always, God will always show you something different. But here's what it says. Somebody read the caption. Somebody got the caption for this? 13, right above 13. You have it? What? This is right after. He says, enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now, I hope this makes sense to you, because this is it right here. That I ask and I stay in the way. Even though that way feels narrow. Come on. Sometimes it feels tight. You with me tonight? Come on. Sometimes it feels tight. It feels tight. But I believe if you stand in that place, if you stay in that place, if you're unmovable, that you stand and you agree with God, the Word of God says that tight place will become broad. And what was working against you will begin to work for you. Come on, hallelujah. What felt like was working against you, come on, that all the forces of nature, everything working against you, will ultimately end up working for you as you begin to agree with God's Word. It'll begin to flow that way. Come on, amen. It'll begin to flow that way. Hallelujah. It'll begin to get broader and bigger. Hallelujah. You'll begin to experience it and begin to hear God at a greater level, a greater depth, as you stay in that place. Come on, tell your neighbor, stay in that place. Stay in that place. It might be narrow now, but God says that way becomes broad. It gets broader. It gets bigger. Hallelujah. It gets wider. And we begin to see the fullness of God in our lives. Overflow. Overflow. Do you ever see somebody pushing something up a hill? But once you get to the top, it begins to work the other way. You have to do nothing. See, I want to walk in the place that Jesus did with it this way. It was nothing to agree with the Father. It wasn't hard, but it was easy. My burden is light. It's easy. My yoke is easy. Come on. That's His word, not mine. Because when you first enter in, it seems like it's narrow, but it gets broad. Amen? I think that's it. Tell someone, stay in the right place. Stay in the right place. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I pray to God, Lord, that we take these things and we begin to add them, begin to let it multiply within us, God. Let it begin to multiply us, God. God, Lord, as it washes over, God, Lord, different things in our lives to God, Lord, that try to disrupt Your word. God, Lord, tonight, God, Lord, let us water the faith with Your word, God, as we take hold of it, God. I pray to God, Lord, there be an increase in these lives right here tonight, God. I pray for a greater desire of the word. I pray for a love of this word, that it captivates them, calls them. God, Lord, I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.